to experience an unpleasant truth.
America must choose to build a future or obsess about the past. To be a nation of fear, division, and of darkness.
Use your aggressive feeling.
Embrace anger, chaos, truth, but in the shadow of lies.
Let the hate flow through you.
Together we can choose a different path.
Join me, and together we can rule the galaxy.
Our nation of fear, division, and of darkness.
Break me down with all of your hatred, and your journey towards the dark side will be complete.
Embrace anger. Thrive on chaos. But in the shadow of lies.
So this is how liberty dies. With thunderous applause.
Across the fruited plain and from sea to shining sea. 3 hours of bold truth, excellence, and optimism for America. The Wendy Bell Radio Program.
Welcome back, America. Hour number 3 of the Wendy Bell Radio Program. On the clock, it is official, rawstory.com. Robert Hur resigns ahead of House hearing with help from Trump world figures. Okay, Raw Story, let's just say this is not a conservative site, but let's hear what the spin is on this. So you know Robert Hur, he's a Republican. That's what they like to say, like David Weiss. Oh, he's a Republican. You know what? The letter after your name is not indicative of who you are or how you behave. But they need to do that so they can say, oh, it's bipartisan. Oh, well, he's a Republican. Oh, because that means he certainly would never lie or do anything. Really? Please. So this Robert Hur sits down. He's been charged with, you know, sitting down with Joe Biden and figuring out what the hell's going on with classified documents. What do you know? How long have you known it? Dude's been in Congress for half of a century. It should not be complicated. Before we get, well, I want to read a little bit of this because we've got 3 audio clips from Jim Jordan. Special Counsel Robert Hur, who oversaw the investigation into President Joe Biden's retention of classified information, timed his resignation from the Justice Department with the help of Trump-aligned lawmakers ahead of his testimony to Congress, reported The Independent on Monday. Quote, according to multiple sources familiar with Mr. Hur's plan, the special counsel, who's appearing before the Judiciary Committee at the request of the Republican majority, led by Ohio Representative Jim Jordan, has arranged his departure from the Department of Justice to be official as of Monday, 11 March, one day before he's scheduled to appear on Capitol Hill, wrote Andrew Feinberg. Instead of appearing as a DOJ employee who is bound by the ethical guidelines which govern the behavior of federal prosecutors, he will appear as a private citizen with no constraints on his testimony. That's got to be terrifying, right? Because you're used to controlling the narrative, the Department of Suck. The DOJ completely is used to running the narrative, to controlling what is said, who does what. Christopher Wray doesn't want to appear, doesn't want to respond to a subpoena. Okay, he doesn't. And then all of a sudden, wait, what? You're resigning? Which means we have no oversight or say into your testimony? And we're not even supposed to be there next to you while you do this? What? Oh, yeah, it's delicious. That makes it even more problematic from our perspective, said a source close to Democrats on the House Judiciary Committee. If he was still a federal employee, DOJ would have to approve his testimony and they'd be involved in his appearance tomorrow. We don't want their involvement. The Department of Justice sucks. Just ask every single January 6 hostage. Just ask every single person who was there on January 6th who had SWAT-like agents roll up hot and heavy in the pre-dawn raids at their home. Just ask every parent who was hunted down for having the gall to speak up at a school board meeting. It's not complicated. Department of Justice is not about justice. It's about suck. I want you to hear Jim Jordan. So he's asked questions about, all right, well, what are you expecting? What's going to happen? This is all going on. This is last night that he's talking to Brian Kilmeade, who I also think sucks. And he's talking about what's going to happen and what her is going to be talking about. All right. And in these three audio sound bites, he talks about the single question that Robert Hur is facing that our committee, Jim Jordan, as the head of the judiciary, says, look, if you know the dude had classified documents and shared information about them, how can you possibly reasonably rule that he shouldn't be charged when you have a former president whose home has been raided, right? Whose information was cherry-picked and dropped to the media, who's on trial for it under federal indictment, criminally charged. Tell me how that makes sense. Audio soundbite one.
Special Counsel Hur had one fundamental question to address. Did Joe Biden keep and share classified information? And the answer to that question is a resounding yes. Yes, he did. He kept it in five different locations, the Penn Biden Center, the University of Delaware, and then in his garage, his office, and his den at his home. So he kept it at five locations. But maybe more importantly, he shared classified information with the ghostwriter of his book. So that is clear. We're going to probe all those areas. But he found that clearly, but then decided, as you pointed out, Brian, that because the president would be sympathetic, and this is Special Counsel Hur's word, sympathetic to a jury because he would appear as an elderly old man who can't remember things, he decided not to bring charges.
Because that makes sense. Because that sounds like justice. That sounds like an even-handed delivery. That sounds reasonable. No. Hur did not recommend charges against Joe Biden, but claimed, as Jim Jordan just said, among other things, that the Biden was suffering from severe memory problems. He did while he was being questioned. That's kind of important, isn't it? If you can't remember certain things, but you can remember other things, ought you be running for re-election? Should we not be having this conversation? Audio soundbite two.
Harry also said that he couldn't remember when he was elected vice president, how long he served as vice president during the interview that they had over a two-day time period. So the memory concerns, I think, are evident. The American people see that all the time. But I think there's also, remember, this is over five decades. There was classified material found clear back in the early days when Joe Biden was senator from Delaware. So this is a 50-year process. And I think a fundamental point here is, too, is Joe Biden was totally familiar with how you are supposed to handle classified documents. 50 years in public service, chairman of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, 8 years as vice president when he's getting a daily intelligence brief, time that he spent in the Situation Room. So he definitely knew what he was supposed to do, failed to do that. But because his memory is so bad, the special counsel said prosecutors have to look at the totality of things when they're going to take a case to the jury. Mm-hmm. He decided not to bring charges.
So the White House strongly disputed Hur's characterization of the interview, calling attacks on Biden's memory gratuitous and a mischaracterization of the interview. Well, I mean, I don't really think that Robert Hur attacked anybody. This is like the reporter, Dasha Burns, who is interviewing John Fetterman, being attacked by Fetterman's wife for ableism, for merely saying that John Fetterman's ability to manage chit-chat was dreadful post his stroke, that he could not get the nuance of conversation because the brain wasn't functioning. You're not allowed to say that. Well, why not? It's the truth. Really? So it's gratuitous. It's an attack on him. No, I noticed that dude didn't know when he was president or vice president. He didn't know when his son died. He didn't know a lot of specifics. And that is why Jim Jordan says they have asked for the recordings and the transcripts. But what about that, Congressman? Listen.
Yeah, I'll tell you one thing we are going to ask Special Counsel Hur is, and one thing we've done is we've said we want the audio tapes. We want all the information you had when you interviewed President Biden. We think if you're not going to prosecute him based on the fact that you believe he's an elderly old man who forgets things, we want to hear those audio tapes. We've asked for that. Right now, the White House and the Justice Department aren't giving it to us. We'll see what happens there.
By the way, that's called a threat to democracy right there. This ridiculous, hypocritical, one-sided only treatment of all things, where Black Lives Matter and Antifa can burn, they can They can loot. They can create chaos, and that's fine. And then people walk through the Capitol building on January 6th, and they're thrown in prison for 20 years. How are those two things congruous? They're not. Joe Biden can have boxes upon boxes of classified documents all over the place, from a home he once had in Virginia to his places in Delaware to next to the Corvette to, you know, with Colonel Mustard and a candlestick in the library. I mean, it's ridiculous. He can get away with it. He gets no penalty. He gets nothing. And Donald Trump's home gets raided. Garbage gets said about him. Nothing is really found. And he gets indicted and is now on trial for it? I mean, we all see what's happening. Are you up with me at cruising altitude? Because it's so clear. Why is it okay for the Department of Justice, for the White House, to say, yeah, no, we're not going to give you those audio tapes? You know, we did sit down with Joe Biden 2 days, 5 hours. We have the audio and their transcripts, too. But yeah, no. Why would they not share the most transparent administration in history, right? Sort of like the safest, most secure election ever. Feels so familiar. Let's talk about this. The refusal. It's unacceptable. Taxpayer dollars paid for that, you schmucks. Hand it over. We'll go there next on the Wendy Bell Radio Network. So let's get down to the nitty-gritty here. Let's go over all of the many things that they've lost. Oh, the visitor logs to the Penn Biden Center. Why ever would we need visitor logs to that? You mean where all of the anonymous Chinese donations came in to the Penn Biden Center? From people in China? Millions of dollars? So weird how that worked out, isn't it? Well, we don't have those. So weird. Well, how about all the transcripts and the video recorded interviews? Because the January 6th committee spent more than $10 million of our dollars on its dog and pony high school musical to create a specific narrative. Where did all of those videos go? Benny Thompson, the biggest dope of them all. We didn't think we needed them. We didn't think we needed to save them. Really? It's like how the voting people in the swing states. You wanted the chain of custody logs? I thought they were right here. I don't know where they are. How about all the video from the Capitol? How about all of it? Well, the DOJ refuses, of course, to give Republicans the audio and the written transcript from Robert Hur's Joe Biden interview. And in fact, I understand that the beginning of the judiciary hearing in which Robert Hur is currently sitting before judiciary started with his television press conference and the remarks he made about he's an old dude, crappy memory, right? So because of that, and he'll probably come across to jurors, obviously knowing that he broke the law. That's treason. That's punishable by death. Or at least it's punishable by putting him in a nursing home. The Department of Justice will hand over documents related to special counsel. The Department of Justice will hand over documents related to special counsel Robert Hur's report on President Joe Biden's handling of classified material, but will not include the transcript and audio of Hur's interview with Biden. How does that help? Oh, we're supposed to trust you. Right. Because that's going to happen. Hur's characterization of Biden as an elderly man with a poor memory set off a firestorm of criticism from Democrats who accused the investigator of injecting a partisan angle into the report. Sit down, clowns. It also gave Republicans a new attack line against Biden as the pace of the 2024 presidential campaign continues to heat up. As the Huffington Post points out, the DOJ's letter to House Judiciary Committee Chair Jim Jordan and House Oversight Committee Chair Jamie Comer stated that the documents would not be included because they, quote, You guys want to take a stab at the in the dark here? What do you want to think? What do you want to think that is? You're right. They require review for classification and protection of national defense information. There was national defense information about the freaking war in Afghanistan in Joe Biden's garage, right? And they're like, well, that's classified. That's top secret. Well, it's part of an ongoing investigation. I'd love to answer that question, but that's part of an ongoing investigation. Well, we don't know. We're going to have to get permission for that. Well, that's top secret. That's classified. These people are so hypocritical. They twist themselves into knots. It would require review for classification and protection of national defense information. Why don't we just ask Joe Biden's ghostwriter, the klutz who's helping him with his memoirs that we're all going to be told is a national New York Times national bestseller? Joe Biden can't get 15 people to show up at a rally in Atlanta, Georgia for him. You really think he's going to be? Come on, man. You lying. Two-faced doggy ponies. What is it?
Lying dog face pony show.
Pony soldier.
Pony soldier.
We also, this is another quote. I love this. This is another quote of suck. We also have substantial confidentiality interests. Well, Joe Biden didn't have any confidentiality interests when he shared them with people or talked about them or left them hither and yon all over his sordid life. But he's okay. I mean, whatever. He's just an old guy, and old guys do old guy things, and then they forget about him. And, you know, it's just kind of the cycle of life. What? In a statement, Jim Jordan's spokesman, of course, rejected the DOJ's reasoning. Our staff has all necessary clearances to review the contents of the president's interview, which dealt with materials found in unsecured areas like garages, closets, and commercial office space, he says. We're evaluating next steps. Do these clowns know that we pay their salaries? They keep telling us that Donald Trump can't give him those classified briefings that he'll be entitled to once he accepts the party's nomination this summer. We're going to water him down, Adam Schiff says. We don't want to give him too much because he's crazy. He's unhinged. Who's crazy? The people who are lying every single day, who are fudging numbers, who are screwing you over with science, who use the media to propagandize you with every waking moment, every doo-doo-doo-doo, this just in. Really? Oh, it's Donald Trump. Got it. This is what you're dealing with, friends. This is what Trump is dealing with. All right, hypocrites and hellscapes. What it's like to vote Democrat in 2024. Do you guys hear a majority of voters say they wouldn't want the 2024 election certified if Trump wins? What? Next. You guys remember when you and I and other people out there started talking about 2020? And we were saying, you know, it just feels weird. It doesn't add up. I went to bed. Trump was up 600,000 in my state of the land before time. And then when I woke up the next morning, I was told that Joe Biden was ahead by 80,555 votes. How does that happen? And then we looked and we saw, like, in what election do people lose votes? Like, you're supposed to be adding votes. There's no place for votes to go away, and away they went. And then lo and behold, we started getting video from inside places where there were emergencies, and everybody got to go home. Not going to finish counting. We're going to come back here tomorrow, 8 o'clock, nothing to see here, promise. Honest engine, everybody good, pinky swear, and break. And we watched as they put cardboard up with duct tape on the window so nobody could see. Like, that wasn't freaking suspicious. Everybody knew. And then, oh yeah, the video that nobody was allowed to talk about from all different corners inside State Farm Arena where, let's get these boxes out, these big suitcases out from under the table, and we're going to start feeding the same unadulterated, creaseless mail-in ballots into the machines. Isn't that so weird? So weird how you could get a ballot in the mail in an envelope, which is required, without folding said paper. Don't say that, election denier. And then things got so haywire, they had to do something, and that's where January 6th came from. There you go, Nancy Pelosi, you suck too. So we weren't allowed to question anything. We weren't supposed to say anything. We were just supposed to go along and be like, well, that was weird, but I'm sure it was fine. My government never lies to me. So wait a minute. How is it possible then that now the hypocritical Democrats are saying, look, if Donald Trump wins re-election in 2024, I refuse to acknowledge his presidency. Well, that would be a big lie too, wouldn't it? I wonder if Chris Cuomo would pounce all over that now that he's so talking about cooperation and communication. Let's forget about the extremes and all the ugliness of the past that I was a purveyor of. Let's meet in the middle. Let's be friends. No. How's the poll here, right? Breitbart. Majority of Democrats oppose certification of 2024 election if Donald Trump wins. So is liberalism the disease, or is being a Democrat infectious? Is there something that happens to you that sucks the common sense out of your face, and all of a sudden you are rendered lifeless and thoughtless, and you're just this like amoeba on a wave of suck drifting along the ocean? Because that's kind of how it feels. Because you said to us, and when we asked questions, demonstrable questions, because they were obvious, because we were watching from 30,000. Shh. Sit down. We'll come for you. Really? Let's see. 57% of Democrat voters. 57% of Democrat voters would oppose Congress certifying the 2024 election if former President Donald Trump wins. A Rasmussen Reports poll sponsored by the National Pulse found just hours ago. These sniveling, crybaby, emotional wackos. I won't. He won't be my president. I won't do it. And these are the people who said that he wouldn't leave office, remember? Donald Trump's not going to leave office. He's not going to go away. He's tyrannical. Really? So this poll asked likely voters. Some Democrats in Congress have said that if Trump wins this year's election, they will vote against certifying the election results because of Trump's role in the January 6, 2021 Capitol riots. Okay. It's so stupid. It's so what did he do? Go and peacefully, patriotically protest. Outrageous! What did he do? He said, I love America. I love this country. We know it's gotten squirrely. We know there's darkness, and we know it's going to get weird in the days ahead. And we have to band together, and we have to be strong, and we have to find our faith, and we have to take care of ourselves, and we have to be unified, and we have to be vigilant, and we have to become active. That's what he said. And he championed all of the things that we all love about these United States. And his role in January 6th. So the question again, some Democrats in Congress have said that if Trump wins this year's election, they're going to vote against certifying the results because of his role in the January 6th Capitol riots. Do you support or oppose Democrats refusing to certify the election results if Trump wins? This is crybaby crap on the playground. Take your ball and go home. That's what this is. We thought we had it. We thought we had it with Hillary Clinton. We had it all set to go. It was ready to rock and roll. We thought we had the system down pat. We were ready to cheat, right? And then 63 million Americans blew that wad, right? What happened? We didn't prepare for that. So then they came gangbusters in 2020. And we were told that during COVID, a record number of people, including 100% of some zip codes, of tens of thousands of people, 100% voter participation. And you're like, come on now. What you talking about, Willis? That's not true. Yes, it is. See how they play? It's so petulant. It's so childish. It's so predictable because it's all they know. So what's the number? 57% of Democrats will oppose or would oppose certification if Donald Trump won re-election. Nearly two-thirds of liberals said they would oppose certification. It's a disease. It's a disease. I don't think there's a cure. I don't think there's deconstruction. I don't think there's like some chamber. There's no injection that's going to neutralize this crazy. Because whatever is missing, whatever component is so missing in that liberal mind, that is so missing in all of their minds, so that normal, rational people can become triggered wackadoodles at the drop of a hat. Whatever that thing is, unfortunately, I don't think there's a way to neutralize that. Which is why I said at the beginning, I'm not going to feel badly when I say to you, I don't want to meet in the middle with these people. I will not forgive, and I sure as hell will never forget. Now, the good news here, of course, Democrats do not form the majority of voters' opinions. Overall, only 35% of all voters would support opposing certifying Trump's victory. That's 35%. And Breitbart says only 35%. One in three is a hell of a lot of people who are crazy. One in three think it would be normal to go during an election and say that, I don't like that guy. I don't like that guy. I don't think he should be president. No. We said, hey, look, we just want to have a conversation, right? This thing that Chris Cuomo is imploring all of us to do, to before we judge one another, let's sit kneecap to kneecap. Let's break some bread, like he did with Tucker Carlson. Let's realize social media is the cancer. Communication is the cure. Well, that's funny, Chris, because, see, we came to all of you guys and said, well, how do you explain this? Oh, judge won't hear that case. Oh, really? How about in Arizona where the audit showed outrageous anomalies? Nope, we're not going to hear that case either. Well, how about in Fulton County, Georgia? The nexus of so much of this indictment sock against Donald Trump, where 150,000 mail-in ballots had no signature verification. And so we say, hey, we think we should probably talk about that. When your threshold of victory is like 20,000 votes or less, I mean, that's seven times that, right? Shouldn't we talk about that? No, not going to hear that case either. Really? Because all we wanted was the conversation. All anybody wanted was to be heard. It's what Victoria Spart said yesterday from Indiana. The people who showed up at January 6th at the Capitol, if they had wanted to overthrow the government, they would have done it. There's a reason why they didn't find any knives or guns. There's a reason why the Oath Keepers and the Proud Boys specifically said, look, I know you guys all travel heavy. Leave your ammo and firearms in the hotels, because that's not what this day is about. If the Oath Keepers were really some rogue, random, militarized, wacko group of extremists who wanted to overthrow the government and deny Joe Biden the presidency, they dang well would have done it. They were there to do what they do, to be a second line of defense, to observe, to give strength in numbers, to be patriotic, to offer protection. Because sometimes just the optics of force will dissuade a bad actor from acting badly. So I find this rich and despicable and disgraceful and inexcusable and childish and predictable. This is what you get when you deal with the left. Unhinged, immature, unapologetically awful. And these are the people who believe that our collective taxes should go up by $5.5 trillion next year. You get the government you vote for. It's amazing how these people wouldn't vote for change that is clearly superior. Quick time out. When we come back, I want to talk about this. We got a little flashback in the Wayback Machine 35 years ago. My, Joe Biden sure has changed his tune on drugs and immigration and crime. Let's listen in next on the Wendy Bell Radio Network. It's the perfect song. It is all about money. It is about taking your money. It is about spending it indiscriminately. All these pet projects, all these hundreds of billions of dollars to go to migrants, hundreds of billions of dollars to go to all these foreign countries. All of this money, hundreds of billions of dollars now to go to Haiti for what they're going through, right? Where are the hundreds of billions of dollars for you? For our homeless veterans, for our families slipping through the cracks in need, for anybody who wants to get off the street and have the God-given right of shelter. What about that? Well, it doesn't matter. Joe Biden's all about the open border, bringing people in. It's been obviously purposeful. There's no denying it. But we thought it was really weird when we went back 35 years. This is right after President George H.W. Bush gave an address about crime and drugs. And Joe Biden, then the senator from Delaware, was the guy who was giving the Democrat response. Now, listen to Joe Biden 35 years ago and then consider what this klutz has done to our country in the last 3 years. Because one of these things is not like the other. What happened, Joe? Enjoy.
Put it in very personal terms for a moment. Joe Biden, me, I would settle for a world in which I could worry about the same kinds of things that my parents worried about, in which I only had to worry about the grades my children got in school rather than the drugs they're being exposed to, in which I only had to worry about the prices my wife had to pay at the supermarket instead of fearing that she might get mugged by a junkie in the parking lot as she loads her groceries into the car, in which tonight I could call my mom just to wish her pleasant dreams, not for the purpose of making sure she's safe in her own home. That's the kind of world I want. That's the kind of world you deserve. In a nutshell, the president's plan doesn't include enough police officers to catch the violent thugs, not enough prosecutors to convict them, not enough judges to sentence them, and not enough prison cells to put them away for a long time.
Ooh.
We disagree with the president's decision to cut back on our previous commitment to protect against the drugs coming across the border, to cut the Customs Service, the Coast Guard, and the Border Patrol. We think we should do more to stem the flow of drugs across our borders, and we think we should go one step further. Let's go after the drug lords where they live, with an international strike force. There must be no safe haven for these narco-terrorists, and they must know it. And we don't have to promise a world without worry or fear. We're not asking for that much. All we have to do, together, is to keep our promises and stay together. Thank you.
I mean, you could almost be like, yeah, I agree with that. And then you look back and you're like, oh my gosh, they've lied to us forever. They've been lying, lies on top of lies. Joe Biden talking about drugs. Joe Biden talking about criminals, about the cartels, about prisons, about putting people away, about law and order, about consequence. And it's so curious how in Joe Biden's America, there are no consequences to those who break the law. There is no prison sentence anymore. There is no punishment because it's allowed. It's invited. Joe Biden has invited this. And it's not even him. I mean, he's out to lunch. He's a vegetable. It's unfortunate. I'm sorry to say it, but it's true. And now all of a sudden, what do we have? Did you guys see what New York City is doing? So New York, Kathy Hochul is calling in the National Guard and the state police. Wait a minute. There was a veteran on a subway car who prevented a guy who was a threat to the rest of the people from hurting them. And the gentleman who he put into a chokehold sadly died. And instead of thanking that man for obviously saving those folks from what was obviously deemed a threat, all of the people on the subway car agreed. They threw the book at the soldier. They threw the book at the veteran. How about the guy who sprayed bullets and shot like 23 people or whatever? The guy on the subway who did that. Do you think he has served a day in jail any more than the migrants who beat up two New York City police officers? Do you think they've seen the inside of a jail cell? No. They went through the system. They were bounced in hours. It's exactly how the dude who killed Lakin Riley managed to get away with it. And so now all of a sudden, after defunding the police, after bastardizing and demonizing law enforcement for being racist or for being inept, for strapping them down with cameras so that we can inspect and we can Monday morning quarterback every move that they made. Now, alas, nobody wants to be a police officer. Why? Why would that be? Because you put your life on the line like a soldier. Only to have your America turn its back on you, right? So now we have to have the National Guard, which was not available, of course, on January 6th, even though we know Donald Trump asked for and gave the green light to Muriel Bowser for 10,000 human beings. You saw them. They were all in the, remember they were in the parking garage? There were like 5,000 National Guard troops that were on standby. They were never authorized to help out. Why? Because they needed the optics of a government overthrow. They needed that word insurrection. They needed to go backwards. And so what? Who managed to get snarled in the net? That's the cost of politics. That's the price of playing dirty. That's the desperation once you've had a sip from the golden chalice. We don't matter. To quote President Trump, what the hell do you have to lose? I'm Wendy Bell. Always a delight to be with you, my friends. We'll be back tomorrow. Hump day. Until then, peace.